Today's episode is brought to you by the Ohio Toy and Comic Show on
Sunday, July 23rd,
10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Fairborn Dayton, Ohio Inn. What's the address, Johnny?
2800 Presidential Drive, Fairborn, Ohio, 45324.
$2 admission, $12 year olds and under are free. Man, they're letting old kids in for free. Aaron, you got to charge
more. I was going to say, 12-year-olds, like, you know.
Man, that's like an adult.
That's puberty now, isn't it?
Anyway, so, yeah, make sure you guys check out OhioToyAndComicShow.com. They're also on Facebook. You can get to all those links from their site. Check out their vendor list, their guest list. Your favorite podcast is listed on the guest list. So, you know, Bearded Beasts in the
I was going to say, the other one?
Yeah. So anyway. But yeah, so definitely look for that.
I was looking to see if my favorite podcast was on there, but.
All right. We'll see you guys there. Hey, welcome to episode 898. Hold on, let me start over. Welcome to episode 98 of the Infamous Podcast, Action Movie Monsters, Terminator. All right, this is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this starts off a series of episodes we're going to do talking about the modern action monsters.
Yeah.
So, why don't you explain?
But this was just an idea I had because Universal Monsters are a known product in that because they're under one flagship company. But I was trying to think of, you know, a theme for the month.
Sure.
And I was thinking like modern monsters. And I was like, the Predator obviously is one. Mm-hmm. And the Alien, you know, even though that movie came out in 79, but, you know, we're going to focus on Aliens.
Is that the one you gave me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the second one. The James Cameron one.
Yeah.
Obviously, James Cameron's going to be popping up.
It's a James Cameron themed month.
Yeah. Two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah. So, the next four episodes will be monsters, and then we're going to do a cover up and pick covers from the comic book adaptions of these monsters.
Okay.
Terminator, Predator.
Can you do Batman versus Predator?
You can. Nice. Anything is available that has the title Predator, Aliens, RoboCop, or Terminator in it. So at some point, I'll have a RoboCop versus a Terminator cover, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
But yeah, we're going to do eight covers for that one.
Are we? Oh, well. Yeah. Well. Okay, yeah. Then.
That way you can, if you want to pick two for each monster, yeah, or sense. If you want to do crossovers or whatever.
Cool.
So
cool.
That's what we're doing. And today
Alrighty.
We're talking about the Terminator.
The Terminator, the 1984 Terminator. And I want to talk a little.
We're going to talk about the whole franchise.
I want to talk about the whole franchise, though.
Each one of these, we are going to talk about the franchises as well, because obviously we have an Alien movie that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's talk mm-hmm. of a new Predator movie from Shane Black. So, you know.
I'm all about that. I like Shane Black.
RoboCop is kind of dead at this point.
Yeah. Well, it happens. So one of
well,
them
because they're building them probably down the street somewhere.
Yeah,
and
no kidding.
They're going to show up. So. ED-209.
All right. So we're going to start
if
talking
you're
about
running from them. Just go to the steps. That's all I can say.
The 1984 classic, if you will, Terminator.
Yeah.
Which was directed by James Cameron, produced by Galen Hurd.
I'm sure that name is familiar.
That name, if you're not familiar,
the Walking Dead fans.
Yes. So. Yes. Anyway, it stars, there's another common theme in some of these, too, is Michael Biehn,
and Schwarzenegger.
Yep. But so we have Arnold Schwarzenegger, Michael Biehn, Linda Hamilton, Paul Winfield, who shows up in a bunch of stuff all the time in the 80s.
Lance Hendrickson?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally forgot he was in it. It's like, man, that guy does not look right with dark hair.
Bill
I'm
Paxton?
So used to, well.
Oh, Bill Paxton's in.
Is he Terminator? A Terminator?
Yeah. Nice night for a walk.
Oh, yeah.
Laundry
that
day.
That was him, yeah. So, and was that Slider from Top Gun as the one girl's boyfriend, as Ginger's boyfriend?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One, Brian Thompson is the other guy with Bill Paxton,
right.
The one that says,
yeah,
laundry day, eh? And it's like, yeah, it's like those guys have gone on and done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they have. All right, so...
Well, James Cameron is one of those directors that will use people that he trusts.
Over. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, him and Schwarzenegger are like good friends in real life type thing, but...
Yeah.
You know, he likes to use actors that he trusts, mm-hmm. So...
Yes, he does. Very
I haven't
much
seen
so.
Leonardo DiCaprio in another James Cameron movie.
Okay. What was he? Oh, Titanic.
Yeah, Titanic.
You know, I did not see that until maybe 6 years ago.
Wow.
And
I think it in the theater.
I think I've told this story. Well, okay, so I went to go see it in the theater, and just like the Blair Witch Project, it was like always sold out whenever I wanted to go. And so I just gave up. It's like it's not meant to be. I'm not.
I think
meant
that
to
was
see
one
movie.
Of the last movies I seen at Showcase Cinemas Eastgate.
Ooh, fancy. Yeah. So, but a funny thing
before
is,
they tore it down.
Is when I was working at the video store when it came out on
video. Yeah.
This lady came in and she was talking about it. And she got to the point where she was talking about the boat sinking. And I went, whoa, spoilers. And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, it's like, how dumb do you think I am, lady?
Yeah.
It's a freaking historical event.
People die.
Yeah. Anyway, but it's just my little fun thing. But no, I like that. But all right, so Terminator.
Yeah.
Before we went on the air, I was kind of sharing some thoughts because mm-hmm. I hadn't watched this movie in probably 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
I like this one. Judgment Day is my favorite.
Well, Judgment Day is everybody's favorite. Because
Sarah Connor Chronicles
right,
is my favorite of all the
all the Terminator stuff.
So I was surprised at how well the special effects hold up.
Yeah,
with the practical effects,
right?
Because I mean, there's other things that have practical effects that
you're
just
talking
don't look good.
Like even the model stuff, like with the tanks and the HKs and all that, the flying through.
The hunter killers.
Yeah,
it's just the
skeletons being ran over. And that. For it being a lower budget film,
mm-hmm.
it's like it's the thing that you know that James Cameron is a true artist and director. He wasn't handed stuff.
Right.
I mean, he had worked for Roger Corman for years.
Right.
If you watch like stuff like Battle Beyond the Stars, mm-hmm. you'll see James Cameron in there, but he's like a, you know, director of photography or special effects guy. Cause he was brought through the Roger Corman school of filmmaking, which literally means he learned everything. So he knew how to do all the jobs. And then he wrote mm-hmm. this movie and wanted to direct it and they gave it to him. So this is his first movie. I mean, this is the first one that like, you know,
it's what got his career started.
This is why you ladies have Titanic.
But one of the really neat things about this mm-hmm. though is, you know, it's one of those early 80s films that's not ILM.
Right. This is where Stan Winston kind of started being known for like better special effects. Mm-hmm.
So and so you have this film that looks good.
Yeah.
It's a totally original story.
Yeah.
You know, Who sits around and thinks about, hey, let's do a movie about a robot that goes back in time to kill the mom of the resistance leader so he's never born?
And it's one of those things where he has said that, you know, he was inspired by Outer Limits and he was inspired by other sci-fi stuff. And that he didn't, like, it's an all original story, really, mm-hmm. because I mean, you know, there's other stories that have the what ifs and that, but it's like, yeah, he said he came up with the idea in Italy. He was sick and mm-hmm. he was in Italy and he didn't know anybody. And he said he just was imagining what it would be like to be the stranger in a strange land. And that's where Reese came into play. And then the story from there went, you know, Reese was from the future.
But
and
it's
all
funny
that.
You bring up Outer Limits, right?
Because
the runtime for this movie is only 107 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just over
it's
an hour
short,
and a half
yeah.
long. It could have very easily been a half hour Outer Limits episode without some of the more dramatic stuff.
Well,
the
blowing up a police station, the blowing up a tanker truck, the mm-hmm. sex scene.
Whoa.
The sex,
you gotta have the
you
sex
allude
scene.
To the sex scene on a Twilight Zone Outer Limits.
No. The world
cut,
the world
you cut
needs,
to the tree branches swaying in the wind.
The world needs a young naked Linda Hamilton.
Well, you know.
So
Did you see how old she was?
What, like 22, 23?
No, she was 27 years old.
Wow.
And she was playing 18, Michael Biehn was 27 playing 22.
Okay.
Yeah, because he had an idea of how old these characters were.
Okay.
And then it's confirmed in Terminator 2 because it says that Sarah Connor was 29 and John was 10.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, okay.
Okay, there
yeah,
you go.
She was 19 when she had John.
Fair enough.
And it's like, yeah, she's beautiful in this. I mean, she's always been beautiful, yeah. But, so, you know, it's like even the 80s hairstyle on that, it's like she's still like...
Her roommate's 80s hair is probably my favorite epic. 80s hair ever. It's because it's that big girl, afro, super curls. Yeah. You know, it's, I don't know, it was...
The perm to the extreme. Yeah. Yeah.
But I really enjoyed revisiting this.
Yeah.
And it's not like I didn't think I would.
It's one that, you know, like there's certain movies I'll watch once a year, twice a year. And this is one of those ones where I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch.
Today's Terminator time.
Today's Terminator Day. I'm going to watch Terminator 2 and Terminator 1 because that's all there is, right? I like Salvation. I mean, there's a reason why I like Salvation is because I want to see the story of what's going on.
I get that.
Yeah.
But I hate Sam Worthington.
Well, you know.
So we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But no, this one definitely, I mean, you look at all four of these movies we're going to talk about, right? Five.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever.
There's Judgment Day, Rise of the Machine, Salvation.
Well, I was talking about for the month.
Oh, you mean the four movies.
The four movies that we're going to talk about. They all hold up incredibly well.
Yeah.
Considering,
yeah, some effects are janky, and some effects you're like, wow, that still looks good.
But the story is so good.
The stories are solid
in all of these. Yeah. You know, and I've said before, I'm not the biggest James Cameron fan.
Right.
You know, I like Ridley Scott's Alien better than James Cameron's Aliens. You know, I know I'm in the minority of people there, but it's just my taste, right?
Tables are getting flipped somewhere.
What?
I like Star Wars better than I like Empire Strikes Back. It's the same argument, really.
And I recognize like how James Cameron is, right? And the importance he has to film, by the way. but you know, I've never seen Avatar. I never wanted to see Avatar. Wow. I didn't think it just didn't look interesting. Plus it had Sam Worthington in it, and
people that, you know, were like questioning if they should see it. I'm like, if you've seen Dances with Wolves, you've seen Avatar.
And I love Dances with Wolves.
Right. And it's literally felt like the same story, but seeing it in a theater was a good thing to do.
You know, again, I feel like I did miss out on something with that immersive.
I think if you didn't see it in the theater, you're not missing anything.
But the other thing too is I hate 3D. I hate it.
I know it didn't feel like, from what people tell me, because the way he shot it, it was, you know, smart the way he shot it.
Right.
It wasn't because converted. When it was bright. Mm-hmm. Like there's no like, you know, a shadow coming over something or anything. Like, you know, we've seen enough 3D and it was shot 3D. So, you know, it's one of those things. But like the forest at night in 3D was awesome.
Okay, so we've gotten completely off topic from Terminator, and I apologize.
Damn,
I
with
that
the
tangent.
James Cameron.
You know, Michael Biehn is great in this movie. I love him. You know, the first thing I saw him in was Navy SEALs.
Okay.
With Charlie Sheen and...
you seen Navy SEALs before Aliens?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I didn't see Aliens.
You didn't
see
The Abyss before Navy SEALs? He virtually plays like... The Abyss is a James Cameron movie with Ed Harris.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay.
I prefer Leviathan with Peter Weller.
Two different type of movies altogether.
Yeah, with deep sea stuck in them.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Did I see The Abyss? I did not see The Abyss.
Wow.
That's one I have to see.
Yeah.
Because that has Mary Stuart Masters. And
Mary Elizabeth Masterson.
Yeah. Anyway. one of them, I knew it. But no, he's great in this role as Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of times they have the guy who comes back from the future, right?
Yeah.
And like it's like, oh, he's like, you gotta believe me, throwing his hands up. And he was so stoic and like, you know, he was the good soldier.
He's like, I know what I have to do.
And he's like, yeah, exactly. This
for
is
him,
what I have
for
to
him,
do.
For him, it was, he is a soldier. He's on a mission. If nobody believes him, he don't give a shit.
Right.
I'm here to protect Sarah Connor. I will do it. I don't care if you police believe me. I don't care if you doctors believe me. I will get out of this room and I will protect her.
Right.
And that's pretty much what he's saying, like in the scene where he's in with Dr. Silberman, who carries over into two or three more Terminator movies. He's literally saying, I'll get out of here and I'll protect her.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter what you guys think. Yeah. Yeah. Because like, you know, normally when things like this happen, you know, the guy or girl ends up with a needle in the neck, you know, they're tied to a table, and that never happened.
Right.
Of course, you know, you had the Terminator come into the police station while they were questioning him.
I'll be back.
Yeah, I'll be back. And then he drives.
Well, it's the whole thing that he was methodical because he played, I mean, he was written as a machine, obviously.
Right.
He was, you know, playing it as a machine. Schwarzenegger, I think at this point, had done Conan and filmed Conan the Destroyer.
Right.
Because they delayed this movie like 9 months because they wanted Schwarzenegger as the Terminator.
Right.
And he was filming Conan the Destroyer. So in the 9 months that they were sitting around waiting, James Cameron wrote Aliens.
Yeah.
But when he goes through the phone book, and it's like, that's another thing that's like one of those, that was kind of unique at the time. He literally just goes through the phone book on his mission.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kill every Sarah Connor until I get the right one.
Right, right.
It's like, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, Kyle obviously knew who
he
was looking for.
Yeah.
And not just what she looked like, but where, a rough approximation of where she would be.
Right.
So, yeah.
And that's only because Sarah told John and John told Kyle, and it goes into the paradox of, you know, what happens.
Right.
And
the chicken or the egg.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like the end of this movie is where I get a bit problematic.
Okay. I'm going to have to explain time travel again, ain't I?
Well, no. The end, where he dies.
Kyle. Okay.
He didn't have to die.
No.
And I think him not dying there kind of opens it up a little more.
I think for the story that Cameron was telling, it was necessary for him to die because John was raised by Sarah.
Right. And I'm not saying that to keep him
around.
John
raised
until
his own father.
Right. Well,
and,
yeah.
You know.
I just feel like giving them just like having them in together.
Yeah.
And then having him die like randomly.
Yeah.
I feel like would have been a much more powerful statement because, you know, at the end of the day, she saved herself from the Terminator. Now, yeah, he greatly damaged it and everything with the pipe bomb. But it's one of those things where, I don't know, I just would have liked to have seen them hobble out of that warehouse together. Just visually, it would have been a cool look and feel.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, he, like James Cameron acknowledges that earlier on because when he's telling the story of, I was sent back to protect you, you know, and, you know, we know who you are. And she's like, well, what about the father? Who's the father? And he's like, John never told me.
Right.
He's like, you know, you suspect that it's him. Mm-hmm. Like, you start suspecting that, oh, he might be the dad.
Wait, are you the dad of the guy?
And then when she finally confronts him and he says, I've loved you the whole time.
Right.
You know, I've loved you since, you know, since I knew about you, and that you're like, oh yeah, we know who the dad's going to be. And then they go to a hotel and the trees are blowing in the wind.
You gotta do love. You do gotta love the early 80s movies, softcore porn, just little
that
montage.
And the best
there,
thing about that was, I mean, you know, and yeah, you acknowledge the 80s like sex scenes and that, but that's one of the fastest.
Oh, it was like 30 seconds.
And it's like one of those things where it's like James Cameron's just going, yeah, this guy's his father. And now he's gonna die.
He's the dad, and he's a two.
Well, and that's
chunk.
Because it's a horror. It's because it's a horror movie.
Yeah,
because in the original concept, this is a horror movie, and when people have sex in a horror movie, somebody dies.
And at least it wasn't the girl.
Well, yeah,
because that's typically what happens in the horror movies.
Yeah, this is part included in that era of tech noir.
Yeah.
With Blade Runner and like
Tech Noir, that was the name of the nightclub she hit
exactly,
out.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, but it was, and I think that's where they picked the name up from. But like, you had like Blade Runner, this Buckaroo Banzai's kind of Tech Noir.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's 80s movies where you look at them and you go, there's a similarity, but there's differences in them all too. And this was, I think, one of the, this and Blade Runner came out right around the same time, and those two set a trend for a while.
Okay.
Yeah. Ridley and James Cameron, they're doing it.
They were like Lucas and what's his name?
Coppola.
Godfather. Coppola, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So Terminator, it's a great, it's a classic.
And it's things that were left out of this story put into Terminator 2.
Right. So let's talk about Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Sure.
Because that came out in
91.
Was it 90? Was it that?
91.
Yeah, it was
92?
91. No, it was 91. And that introduced us to, what's his name? Edward Furlong.
John Connor.
Man, what happened to that guy?
Does art house stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he was so good. He was great, John Connor.
He came here to Florence Meyer and took all the lobsters out of the tank on a drugged up binge and got arrested.
He was the crow in the one with David Boreanaz.
Was that Salvation also?
It might have been. It might have been.
Cuss them movies with Salvation in the title.
Yep. Anyway, so Terminator 2 Judgment Day, 1991, sometimes it's called T2.
Mm-hmm.
I think is widely thought of as the best movie in the franchise.
I like it in the first one equally, I think. Because it's one whole story. That's my feeling on it.
So, one could have always just been a standalone and never.
Yeah, yeah. Any of the movies that we're going to talk about could have been a standalone. Like, Sarah Connor rides off into the sunset in the first one.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where the story has an ending. We know what's going to happen in the future.
Right.
We know that the Terminators are going to destroy everything. And
okay, and that's why I think this one is so interesting, right? And this is where the Star Wars prequels failed.
Yeah.
Because we know where this kid has to go.
Yeah.
We knew where Anakin Skywalker had to go. This was so compelling to watch him and to see the shitty little kid that he was.
Yeah.
And to, by the end, understand, okay, this kid is humanity's savior.
Right.
So, it's one of those things where I think kudos to James Cameron and the team that did T2, for putting it in a way that it's still compelling, even though we know where it's going.
We
know what's going to happen. Also, the addition of Robert Patrick and the T-1000.
Yeah.
And the groundbreaking special effects.
Oh, yeah.
That were the T-1000.
Well, that
really
came from
added
the Abyss.
Something to this, you know.
That stuff
movie.
Came from the Abyss. I mean, the whole, the metal man was the Abyss, because he had the creature who.
Yeah, but it's one thing when it's underwater and, you know, you're kind of surrounded by things. It's another thing when it's the middle of the day on the 105 in LA.
Right. Yeah. So, or him standing next to a mannequin that looks like him.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. So. I mean, they did a lot of that tongue-in-cheek type stuff. I mean,
yeah. It'd have been nice for James Gunn with Guardians 2 to look at Terminator 2 and use that as like the template for how to continue that story, because in you know, he went a little too overboard with the stuff that was good from Guardians and putting it into, you know,
he did his Empire Strikes Back.
I get it.
But
the Empire Strikes Back doesn't take everything that was good in Star Wars and then make you be like, oh, it's too much, man, too much.
Well, I didn't feel like that, but you know, it's like with Terminator 2, it just upped everything that was in Terminator.
I mean, you could almost call this the perfect sequel.
Not the perfect.
I said almost.
Because he edited the end. The original ending was cut out. And
wait,
I
what's the original ending?
The original ending, like, time changed. Like, they actually altered time.
Yeah.
And John Connor was a senator.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah Connor was sitting on the mall waiting for him to come out of Congress and playing with her grandchildren. So it's like, you know, that would have been cool, but they wouldn't have been able to do anything else.
Would that have been so bad?
Well,
now Was that other film? Was that filmed?
Yeah, I parts of it were.
Okay.
I have a book that's the complete screenplay.
Yeah.
So it has all the photos and it has the deleted scenes and it has. I don't know if one of the DVDs, Blu-rays has it, but it has the Kyle Reese dream scene that was in there. Because the Sarah Connor prison stuff, like there was this dream sequence in there where Kyle comes in and tells her, you have to protect our son and all that. And Bian came back and everything. And that was cool.
Oh,
but
cool.
The ending... Parts were filmed, parts weren't, because it was special effects, mm-hmm. you know, future.
In the future.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, the Terminator's lost is what it was. John had stopped it,
yeah.
you know, when he drops Schwarzenegger and the 1000 into
yeah.
the...
And the molten,
That was
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
They had ended all that.
There was no chip left for
right.
them to
yeah.
really... Yeah, okay, cool. All right, and then there was Terminator 3, right?
Rise of the Machines. Yeah.
When was that one?
98, 99?
Yeah. Oh, no, that was 2003.
Oh, because it was after Judgment Day.
Oh, yeah, it did take place after.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Sarah
had died from cancer.
Right.
John was living off the grid, blah, blah, because the internet had actually, you know, started being more of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the, you know, John's living off the grid and hits a deer. And in the meantime, when he's trying to find a hospital, two Terminators show up. And it's like, wait a minute, didn't this end? Because Judgment Day hadn't happened.
Yeah, we missed Judgment Day.
He like monologues that all at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And the Judgment Day that they were told did not happen.
Yeah, I didn't like this one at all.
This is the worst one.
It had a good cast. Nick Stahl's a great actor.
Yeah.
Claire Danes is amazing. But at the end of the day, they did not execute this movie at all. Kristen Loken, while she's beautiful, was a horrible Terminator. Horrible.
Well, it was just the direction.
Yeah.
I mean, Jonathan Mostow, I think. He only had directed, I think, U571 before this. And it's like...
Okay.
Yeah. You don't give a franchise to a... The second time director.
I don't know. The script had a ton of problems with it anyway.
And
I think a good
problems.
Director probably could overcome some
yeah.
of the story that they put
if
together.
If Cameron
there,
would have came back, it would have, you know, been a whole different movie.
Yeah.
And she's good. I mean, Kristanna Loken is a good actress. I mm-hmm. mean,
Painkiller
you know,
Jane, she was awesome.
Jane. Yeah. Yeah.
But she was horrible as this Terminator.
Well, yeah.
Like,
they,
I mean,
they
and
killed it.
But I mean, she's beautiful. Don't get
Arnold
me wrong.
Was
she looked great
too.
Yeah, yeah. Arnold, he was there for a paycheck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that one wasn't good. It was just,
Yeah.
The story was all over the place. It didn't make sense.
Oh yeah, you could drive a tractor trailer through parts of that movie.
You could fly a Death Star through the plot holes.
Maybe not a Death Star, but.
But anyway, yeah, it was just I don't really want to talk about him anymore.
You already did.
I've talked about it enough. All right. So that leads us into Terminator 3. Or I'm sorry, not Terminator 3. We just
Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Okay.
Anyway.
Say it like this. Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Sarah Chronic Chronicles.
See? The Sarah Chronic Chronicles.
Chronicles.
So, where she has to protect her friend, Snoop Doggy Dog.
And the P-Funk All-Stars from with George Clinton. Anyway, this is my favorite of anything in the franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
This two-season series. You know, we got Lena Headley, we got Thomas Dekker, we have Summer Glau, we have Brian Austin Green.
Yes.
Never more has there been a mismatched cast of people. And Garrick Delahunt.
Garrick Delahunt and Shirley Manson.
Oh.
From, yeah.
I was going to get to that because she deserves a whole episode just to her character. In the ambiguity
came
that
up with
was
an
there.
Irish Terminator.
An Irish Terminator. Sean Connor, I'm coming to kill you. Anyway, actually, she didn't want to kill him.
No.
Dun, no. Dun, dun.
The spoilers. The season two cliffhanger is one of the best twists ever.
Yeah, no kidding. So this show, I think if any, more than anything, Terminator was meant to be a TV series.
Yeah.
Because
after you introduce the story in Terminator, the movie, and then Terminator 2, the way that it should have been carried on is a show of some sort. And they did it with this. I mean, this is literally
Of Terminator 2. To Terminator 2. Pretend like Terminator 3 never happened. Like, that's an alternate future.
There was a
apparently a Rocky 5?
There was?
Apparently.
Wow.
Not that I've ever seen or heard of. I think it's mythical.
It's abysmal.
Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
Anyway. Apparently Buffy didn't end at season 5.
Yeah. That's
so
that
weird.
Too.
So weird. Yeah. But no, with this show, it was just you saw how Sarah and John continued.
Yeah.
Down their path, you know, you saw the people that were in their lives, the people that helped make them who they became. You had Derek Reese coming back from the future. You saw Kyle as a little kid.
Well, and you know, before Derek shows up in the second season, in the first season, you start questioning what John was doing in the future because they start showing stuff with Cameron.
Right.
That's her name. Yeah. Cameron, they start showing flashbacks of the flash forward of John and her. And John's in shadow for most of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you start questioning what he was doing.
Yeah.
What
was he up to?
What was he up to? It's like besides sending back the two Arnolds and, you know,
and Summer and, you
right.
know,
or sending back Kyle and the Arnold Terminator. The good Arnold Terminator. Yeah. And then sending back Cameron, it's like, what was he doing? Because the Cameron Terminator had memories that shouldn't have been there.
Right.
And it started to turn into like, I wanted to see where it was going to go with the third season. And, you know, it'd be nice to be
Were they taking people?
If the guys who were working on this show, like still like are listening to this, if they're listening to this and they have like, they can talk about what they were going to do.
Please come on and talk to us.
Yeah. I would love to find out what was going to happen in season three.
Here's what you need to do. You need to track down John Friedman on Twitter.
Okay.
And just bother him mercilessly.
Oh, I was just going to send Terminators after him. And
Terminator-shaped like tweets.
We are here to protect you so you can tell Johnny.
We are here to get you on the infamous podcast. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know.
John Friedman. Yeah. He was the controller?
The creator.
Oh, he was the creator.
Created by.
Okay. We'll find out who was working as the writers and producers.
That would be great.
I'm very curious because the season two cliffhanger was like, you know, one of those ones where you're like, this is a total twist.
Okay, so we'll jump ahead to that cliffhanger, right?
Yeah.
So John and Derek are at a point where they're completely surrounded. They're about to be killed, and they jump to the future.
No, Derek's dead at that point.
Derek did die. You're right. No, like John.
And that was
John,
one of the best deaths.
It was John and Cameron.
It came out of nowhere.
Because he got shot.
Yeah, he literally gets shot in the head, and it's like, you're like, what?
But no, it was Cameron with him.
Yeah.
And they jump to the future.
Right.
And he's like, I'm John Connor. And they're like, who are you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it's literally Cameron's a human.
Yeah.
And Derek is there, and Kyle is there,
mm-hmm.
and they don't even recognize John.
Yeah.
Well, they
obviously they have no idea.
And you're like, what's happening?
You know, and
that's how it ended.
So, I mean, Cameron was obviously a person, so they were putting people memories into Terminators at some point.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You know, trying to.
And that's where it's like, you kind of, like, with Salvation,
Mm-hmm.
You feel like that was kind of like maybe they where they were going, and the studio used some of the ideas.
Yeah. So with Salvation, which was the it was 2009.
Yeah.
Which, man, I put off watching that one for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
I seen it in a theater. It was great in a theater.
I just do not like Sam Worthington.
Well, and
he's
like,
not a good actor.
He's not got in that, it as much as it seems like.
Well, which is fine, which is when I got to it. I love the story of it.
Yeah.
Right? The idea of it. And again, it's like so many movies. It looks great. You know, like Alien Covenant. It looks great.
Right.
It's got a great cast. It's just poorly executed.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought that, like, you know, Christian Bale was better in this than he was in any of the Batman movies.
Yeah.
Anton Yelchin, you know? Yeah. Oh. And it's like seeing that young Kyle Reese and seeing knowing where he was going to go.
Right.
It's like, oh, that's cool.
And I still want having, that Jeep they were driving around in.
Yeah.
Because it was that modified Jeep Sahara, which they sold. You could get the Terminator Salvation
version.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
You need to find one of those.
No, then. I can't afford
and Bryce that. Dallas Howard played played the character that Claire Danes played.
Right.
Common?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Common?
I think
it was Common. That was playing his friend.
Common.
That
was
playing... I assume that originally that was supposed to be Danny.
So this one has Christian Bale as John Connor.
Yeah.
You have Sam Worthington as the Terminator.
Right.
You have Anton Yelchin as young Kyle Reese. Moon Bloodgood, who is amazing and beautiful and amazing. Bryce Dallas Howard, Common. Michael Ironside, who makes everything better just by being involved in it. And then Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
It's like, where did she come from? Now, the thing that this had most going against
she's
the
machine.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, like, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, who thought of putting Helena Bonham Carter in this? Is McGee is the problem with this, right? He's so much better as a producer and as the shepherd of the story and the behind the scenes guy. as a director, you know, like Charlie's Angels was what it was. It probably could have been better
I didn't even realize McGee directed this movie.
Yeah.
See, I like this movie. So it's like one of those things where the most negative thing I can say about this movie is that some of the action scenes are cut too quick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's a McGee thing because you see the same thing in Charlie's Angels and that. But like, you know, the special effects in this are up to par with Terminator 2.
Yeah.
I mean, the giant Terminator that chases him down the street stuff.
You know, he's awesome at the special effects.
But having it be in the interim between Terminator 2, I guess you could say, and Terminator, where he sends Kyle back,
It's
like having this in the beginning days of what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it was obviously the Rise of the Machines had to tie into it. So Judgment Day had been at a later point, and John was older and everything. It was one of those things where McGee might have been trying too hard to put everything together.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously it was in the end, he directs the movie. He controls the movie. The writers write what the writers write. But it's like, you can leave out stuff. You don't have to put everything in there. You know, it was like literally some of it did seem like it was shoehorned in. Mm-hmm. Like John at the beginning of Terminator 2, they show John and John has a giant. Like three scars running down his face.
Right.
They made sure in this movie to show where he got those scars. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you didn't have to do that.
Right. Yeah.
It's like that kind of stuff was just the ones where it's like, you know,
it was like in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade where they showed how he got the scar in his chin. Right. It'd be like Star Wars going and doing that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's unnecessary. Like it worked for Indiana Jones.
Right.
Because, you know, he got the hat, he got the whip.
Right,
you know,
it was literally like an old serial where it's like, you know. But in this one, it was like.
Yeah, it was completely unnecessary.
You know, how he meets Kyle Reese in this one, I think Terminator Genisys did a better version of that.
So Terminator Genisys is, well, one, it's Alan Taylor, who directed Thor the Dark World.
Okay.
And
a lot of Game of Thrones
tons
episodes.
Tons of Game of Thrones episodes. Which is probably how he got Emilia Clarke in. This is one that I feel like would have served so much better without Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
I think having him come back to this one was a problem because like
introducing him in the beginning, but yeah. not having him in the when they jump to the future.
Right.
Like I would have liked to seen Robert Patrick.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been a cool concept to have like a Robert Patrick Terminator show up and say, you know, I was sent by your grandpa or whatever you wanted to call him, or
a redesigned Robert Patrick.
And the problem with that, that was they didn't show that sequence that was originally shot where he rescues Sarah Connor
right.
as a child. They showed like a, you know, a snippet mm-hmm. of it, but that was fully shot. And it's like, that should have been on the, yeah. like, you know, cut scenes or deleted scenes or whatever on the disc, or it should have been like, you know, a director's cut.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have Jason Clarke as,
I mean, this one's another
John
one where
Connor.
You got a solid cast.
He's a solid, you know, Amelia Clarke, no relation.
Yeah.
Is Sarah Connor, and she's great. I've been re-binging Game of Thrones, so I'm back in love with her again. Then you have Jai Courtney.
Yeah.
And this was during that run where it's post-Spartacus, pre-Suicide Squad, right?
Yeah.
Where Jai Courtney's just kind of all over the map with the roles he's playing.
They were just,
he's
not really his agent was like, anything. We're going to get to Terminator. You want to be in Terminator?
He was like, he was good in Jack Reacher. He was bad in this. You know,
see, and I didn't
god
have
awful
a problem with him because he was
the
playing
Die
a different
Hard.
Kyle yeah. Reese.
He was, but like again,
and he was like the major point of the story in right. this one. It wasn't Sarah, and it wasn't the Terminator. It was him.
But you have J.K. Simmons in this, which is great.
They didn't build on that enough. This movie was a movie where it was like they had a lot of ideas, but they didn't get the. Do everything they wanted to do.
They consistently almost got there.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? That's
so.
Because even by the end of the movie, it's like, you're like, okay, I don't need to see any more of this.
And the whole thing with Matt Smith being like Skynet made Terminator, you know?
The Doctor Who Terminator?
Ugh.
Well, it was that thing where they pumped that he was in the movie so much that when he shows up in the scene.
It totally
where
ruined it. They should
like,
have not.
You're like, wait a minute. So he's the bad guy then?
Yeah.
You literally like knew he was going to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you shouldn't have said that Matt Smith was in the movie.
No, not even
all.
Mentioned him in any of the promos.
Yeah. Like he shouldn't have. It's like, you know, if he shouldn't have been on Internet Movie Database listed or mm-hmm. anything. And then when he shows up, you're like, wait, what's he doing there?
Wait, why is the doctor the
yeah.
bad guy now? And
yeah.
Like, you know, and, you know, I mean,
and
again,
they didn't
with
focus
Matt.
On it enough.
Yeah.
Like, right. you know.
It was kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge
yeah.
thing. Eh?
He'll be back in the next one.
No, he won't.
Because there won't be a next one.
I mean, this one's budget was $155 million.
It's all their special effects.
Yeah, which is, I mean, but like, you look at the special effects, you would expect this to be a $200 million movie.
Yeah.
It made $440 million.
Taylor knows how to shoot a movie.
Really? Oh, yeah.
I mean, Dark World is like, the better of the Thor movies at this point.
Better looking,
more action.
Kenneth Branagh's version of...
It's a good introduction to the character.
Yeah, of the Kenneth Branagh did great with characters. His version of Asgard was just way off.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it was just tour.
It was like
Let's
Oz.
Take a flying tour. It was
it,
like you...
It was like Oz, but not green.
It's like he hooked up a drone
yeah.
and just flew it through Asgard.
Yeah.
Let's see what it looks like and play some epic music behind it. And that's it.
But really low epic music, so you're not sure if you're hearing epic music or not. Eh. But no, I love Alan Taylor. I think, you know, he's
I mean,
great.
You know, obviously he's done enough Game of Thrones episodes that you can tell.
I like Thor the Dark World.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah, it's a good movie.
It's, you know, it's up there.
But yeah, this one, I'm like, let's see. We'll rank them.
Okay. Hold on.
Since we're getting close to the end anyways.
Yeah. Okay. We'll so rank let's rank these.
Okay. Leaving out the Chronicles.
The Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Leaving out the show. Leaving out the TV show.
The Sarah Connor Chronicles.
There you go.
Boom.
You got it.
Got it.
So leaving that out, just doing the movies.
Okay.
The number one would be Terminator 2.
Judgment Day.
Yes. Terminator 2.
Right.
Yeah. Then Terminator.
2 is Terminator.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Then for me, Salvation is number 3.
Genesis.
Then Genesis.
Then Salvation.
And then Rise of the Machine.
Then Rise of the Machine.
Rise of the Machine is just a turd. Like, it's literally... I watched.
There's a reason Chris Hardwick's that one and not any of the other ones.
There was Chris Hardwick's in that one?
Yeah, he's like the computer analyst guy. He's fat.
Oh yeah, that was him, so, wasn't it? Anyway. Yeah.
But
with David Andrews, yeah, he's with David Andrews in that those scenes. Yeah.
Anyway,
but there's the whole point.
Chris Hardwick, we love you. We're just teasing.
You know, just that one is all over the place.
Yeah.
If you did it by poop ratings, that's diarrhea. It's just sprayed all over the place.
That's great.
That's like like your kid when she was a baby.
Oh God! Oh, don't even bring that up. Oh,
painting the walls.
Oh, it was all up the crimp. Oh, I threw up.
See, that's what Rise of the Machines makes me want to do.
Yeah. All right. On that note,
I think I own every Terminator movie on Blu-ray is Rise of the Machines. So the other like couple weeks ago, I watched all of them, like not in any kind of order.
Yeah.
And I was like, I probably should watch Rise of the Machines and see if I'm still right about this movie. And I literally put it in and started it and he hits the deer and I'm like, yeah, this still is bad.
It's like when they're driving through the graveyard in the
graveyard shootout scene. Sarah Connor decided to have her ashes sprayed all over the place in the ocean, but she left a crypt of weapons for you, John. Did nobody notice that crypt that was heavier than any other body ever?
So, if you want to watch Terminator Genesis, at least that one's on Hulu right now. So, just putting that out there.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
I don't have major problems with that, except the end.
Yeah, the end is the bad part, but I love Jason Clark.
I liked the interaction between Emily and Jai.
Amelia, yeah.
Was like, you know.
But again, it's this thing where Jai
Courtney.
I would
like to see them in a comedy together.
I feel like Jai Courtney can be a great leading man actor, right?
Like, some people aren't meant to be, though. Some people are meant to just be a good actor.
But I don't think he's always a good actor because I don't think he picks the right parts for him.
You mean his agent doesn't?
Whatever. Whoever doesn't. Whoever does.
Blame the agent, because sometimes it's the agent. Like I said, you want to be in a Terminator movie? We'll get you in that Terminator movie. Jai. Tom Cruise wants you to play an assassin. Okay.
But he was good in that.
Well, right. Because he didn't have much to say or do. Jai. Bruce Willis? Die Hard? Russia?
You're John McClane Jr.
But Mary Elizabeth Winstead is not in the movie.
Junior.
And it's like, seriously, if you have problems with him as Kyle Reese, as John McClane Jr. is 100 times worse.
100 times worse.
Because it was just a crap movie.
At that point, too, John McClane's a superhero.
Yeah.
It's like the Fast and Furious movies, but less believable.
Right.
So
I would like to see Jai Courtney in a comedy, especially after watching him as Captain Boomerang.
He was great.
That he is the villain in the Flash movie.
Yeah.
Because I think it'll be funny.
Outside of Jay Hernandez.
Yeah.
As Diablo.
Yeah.
He is the best part of Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And then
I could get with that. Yeah.
Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
In that order. And then Will Smith. But
what about Jared Leto?
No.
Oh. That's the thing with Rise of the Machines also, is Claire Danes is playing her character for My So-Called Life.
Yeah, she is.
As an adult.
Yeah. Yes, she is. So, all right. Well, on that note, that's been Terminator. What's next? Alien? Aliens?
I think Aliens is next.
You said you were doing this in chronological order.
I think Aliens is 86, Predator's 87, and RoboCop's 88.
Okay.
I think that's right.
Did RoboCop come out that late?
I'm pretty sure. I'll look.
Anyway, no. All right, guys. Well, we will be we'll be back next Friday. So have a good whatever.
Let us know your opinions on the
let us know what you guys think of the Terminator movies.
Terminator franchise.
And all right.
1987 was RoboCop.
So okay.
We'll decide on Predator RoboCop.
We'll brush up on your Xenomorphs. We'll be back next week.
Yep.
Bye. The Infamous Podcast is recorded just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, in the infamous Nerd Den Studios thing, aka my house. You can find us online at infamouspodcast.com. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Infamous Podcast. And as always, if you have questions, suggestions, all around comments about the show, you can email us at contact@infamouspodcast.com. Johnny, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at John Podorf.
And I'm Brian Tudor. I'm on most social networks as Brian Tudor. As always, new episodes every Friday. If you like what you hear, do us a favor and head on over to iTunes and drop us a 5-star review. It helps us get found by more people and it'll help the show.
And do the other... What? The other sites have that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Stitcher as well, and Google.
Yeah.
And I think we have a Patreon page, is that right?
Yep, Patreon page, but I don't know the... What is it, patreon.com/infamouspodcast?
There you go. And check it out, we have some pretty cool...
I may have just had an aneurysm.
Prizes to win. Johnny just got that. Anyway, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night,
evening. Wait a minute,
evening,
is that blood coming out of my
weekend,
nose?
Whatever it is. Any last words?
Nope.
Later.